Welcome back to Hour 2 of Sound Space. It's the annual Mother's Day show, and I have a very special guest in the studio here with me, Sarah Edlin Marlowe. She's a director, actress. You will know her as the former host of All Things Considered,
and
Sarah?
Morning Edition.
Yeah, well, yeah, various aspects.
In fact, when I walked in, well, Maureen let me in.
Yes.
And I said, Maureen, I haven't seen you. And she said, no, I haven't seen you since you trained me. Oh, gosh.
Well, and welcome, Sarah.
Thank you.
It's always good to have you here.
It's always good to be back.
Yeah,
really
absolutely. You're going to do something really special, and I want to let you take it away so that it's just really all yours.
Well,
go ahead.
Okay, well, the first thing I want to say is this is for Mother's Day, or you're listening on Mother's Day. And speaking of mothers, today on Facebook I saw that my very first acting teacher in New York, who gained notoriety as a mother in films and on stage, Olympia Dukakis, passed away. You may remember her from Moonstruck. And an interesting note in the paper this morning, I don't have all the details, but a director wanted her to play a particular mother of someone, and she didn't get cast in that. Then she got cast in a Broadway play called Social Security Administration. And someone else saw her and said, oh, you'd be so right for Moonstruck. And of course, she won the Oscar for that. And just an addendum, by the way, that Oscar was stolen from their house in New Jersey.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Very strange. But anyway, so this is for Mother's Day. And the story today, it's always interesting for me to say that this is an Oscar Wilde children's story. Now, for those of you who knew of Oscar Wilde, and he was rather a rapacious fellow known for being different, but he wrote these really sensitive children's stories. And I think I recorded another one before called The Happy Prince. Mm-hmm. This one is called The Selfish Giant. This is a note to all the listeners. It says, Oscar Wilde intended this story to be read to children. So for today, while you're listening at 10 o'clock at night on a Sunday night, pretend you're your inner child. Okay.
Beautiful.
Okay, Oscar Wilde's The Selfish Giant. Every afternoon, as they were coming from school, the children used to go and play in the giant's garden. It was a large, lovely garden with soft green grass. Here and there over the grass stood beautiful flowers like stars, and there were 12 peach trees that in the springtime broke out into delicate blossoms of pink and pearl, and the autumn bore rich fruit. The birds sat on the trees and sang so sweetly that your children used to stop their games in order to listen to them. Oh, how happy we are here, they cried to one another. One day, the giant came back. He had been to visit his friend, the Cornish ogre, and had stayed with him for 7 years. After the 7 years were over, he had said all that he had to say, for his conversation was limited, and he determined to return to his own castle. When he arrived, he saw the children playing in the garden. "What are you doing here?" he cried in a very gruff voice, and the children ran away. My own garden is my own garden, said the giant. Anyone can understand that. And I will allow nobody to play in it but myself. So he built a high wall all around it and put up a notice board. Trespassers will be prosecuted. He was a very selfish giant. The poor children had now nowhere to play. They tried to play on the road, but the road was very dusty and full of hard stones, and they did not like it. They used to wander around the high wall when their lessons were over and talk about the beautiful garden inside. How happy we were there, they said to each other. Then the spring came, and all over the country there were little blossoms and little birds. Only in the garden of the selfish giant it was still winter. The birds did not care to sing in it, as there were no children, and the trees forgot to blossom. Once, a beautiful flower put its head out from the grass, but when it saw the notice board, it was so sorry for the children that it slipped back into the ground again and went off to sleep. The only people who were pleased were the snow and the frost. Spring has forgotten the garden, they cried. We will live here all year round. The snow covered up the grass with her great white cloak, and Frost painted all the trees silver. Then they invited the North Wind to stay with them, and he came. He was wrapped in furs, and he roared all day about the garden and blew the chimney pots down. "Oh, this is a delightful spot," he said. "We must ask the hail on a visit." So the hail came. Every day for 3 hours he rattled on the roof of the castle till he broke most of the slates, and then he ran round and round the garden as fast as he could go. He was dressed in gray, and his breath was like ice. "I cannot understand why the spring is so late in coming," said the selfish giant, as he sat at the window and looked out at his cold, white garden. "I hope there will be a change in the weather." But the spring never came, nor the summer. The autumn gave golden fruit to every garden, but to the giant's garden she gave none. "He is too selfish," she said. So it was always winter there, and the north wind and the hail and the frost and the snow danced about through the trees. One morning, the giant was lying awake in bed when he heard some lovely music. It sounded so sweet to his ears that he thought it must be the king's musicians passing by. It was really only a little linnet singing outside his window, but it was so long since he had heard a bird sing in his garden that it seemed to him to be the most beautiful music in the world. Then the hail stopped dancing over his head, and the north wind ceased roaring, and a delicious perfume came to him through the open casement. "Well, I believe the spring has come at last," said the giant, and he jumped out of the bed and looked out. Well, what did he see? He saw a most wonderful sight. Through a little hole in the wall, the children had crept in, and they were sitting in the branches of the trees. In every tree that he could see was a little child, and the trees were so glad to have the children back again that they covered themselves with blossoms, and they were waving their arms gently above the children's heads. The birds were flying about and twittering with delight, and the flowers were looking up through the green grass and laughing. It was a lovely scene. Only in one corner it was still winter. It was the farthest corner of the garden, and in it was standing a little boy. He was so small he could not reach up to the branches of the tree, and he was wandering all around it, crying bitterly. The poor tree was still quite covered with frost and snow, and the north wind was blowing and roaring above it. "Climb up, little boy," said the tree, and it bent its branches down as low as it could. But the little boy was too tiny. And the giant's heart melted as he looked out. "Oh, how selfish I have been," he said. "Now I know why the spring would not come here. I will put that little boy on the top of the tree, and then I will knock down the wall, and my garden shall be the children's playground forever and ever." He was really very sorry for what he had done. So he crept downstairs and opened the front door quite softly and went out into the garden. But when the children saw him, they were so frightened they all ran away, and the garden became winter again. Only the little boy did not run, for his eyes were so full of tears that he did not see the giant coming. And the giant stole up behind him and took him gently in his hand and put him up in the tree. And the tree broke at once into blossom, and the birds came and sang on it. And the little boy stretched out his two arms and flung them round the giant's neck and kissed him. And the other children, when they saw that the giant was not wicked any longer, came running back, and with them came the spring. "It is your garden now, little children," said the giant, and he took a great axe and knocked down the wall. And when the people were going to market at 12 o'clock, they found the giant playing with the children in the most beautiful garden they had ever seen. All day long they played, and in the evening they came to the giant to bid him goodbye. "But where is your very little companion?"
"The boy I put in the tree."
The giant loved him best because he had kissed him.
"We don't know," said the children. "He has gone away."
"Well, you must tell him to be sure and come here tomorrow."
But the children said they did not know where he lived and had never seen him before.
and the giant felt very sad. Every afternoon when school was over, the children came and played with the giant, but the little boy whom the giant loved was never seen again. The giant was very kind to all the children, yet he longed for his first little friend and often spoke of him. "Oh, how I would like to see him," he used to say. Years went by, and the giant grew very old and feeble. He could not play anymore, so he sat in a huge armchair and watched the children at their games and admired his garden. "Oh, I have many beautiful flowers," he said, "but the children are the most beautiful flowers of all." One winter morning, he looked out of his window as he was dressing. He did not hate the winter now, for he knew that it was merely the spring asleep and that the flowers were resting. Suddenly, he rubbed his eyes in wonder and looked and looked. It certainly was a marvelous sight. In the farthest corner of the garden was a tree quite covered with lovely white blossoms. Its branches were all golden, and the silver fruit hung down from them, and underneath it stood the little boy he had loved. Downstairs ran the giant in great joy and out into the garden. He hastened across the grass and came near to the child. And when he came quite close, his face grew red with anger. "Who hath dared to wound thee?" For on the palms of the child's hands were the prints of two nails, and the prints of two nails were on the little feet. "Who has dared to wound thee?" said the giant. "Tell me that I may take my big sword and slay him." "Nay," said the child, "these are but the wounds of love." "Who art thou?" said the giant, and a strange awe fell on him, and he knelt before the little child. And the child smiled on the giant and said to him, "You let me play once in your garden. Today you shall come with me to my garden, which is paradise." And when the children ran in that afternoon, they found the giant lying dead under the tree, all covered with white blossoms. And thus ends the story, The Selfish Giant by Oscar Wilde.
Thank you, Sarah, so much. Wow.
I just love his children's stories. They're so sensitive. They're so sweet. And I do love telling children stories. I do.
Yeah, well, and we need them, you know. As you said early, the adult child in us needs these remembrances.
That's true.
And we need to understand the basic quality of love, what it really means to things.
And, you know, for a while, I was part of the Primetime Family Reading Time program, which started in Louisiana and then moved up to here. And I was chosen to be one of the storytellers. And we had a combination of a lecturer and a storyteller. And we would read the books to the kids, and the scholar would show the book, the pictures to the children.
Yeah.
And it was an effort to get families who had less means than most to come to the library. So to lure them in, we always fed them. We gave them dinner.
Right.
And
nice.
we brought them in, and we read them the stories, and they got to take the books home. I was so sad when I had to give up all my books at the end of the journey, but it was really special. And we did it at Shada Library, and it was just a wonderful program. And I think they're doing it. I don't know they're doing it over the last year, but I think they'll be doing it again, because there were several librarians who were trained, you know, to be scholar and to be storyteller. And it is joyful to read books to children and to introduce them to the joy of reading. And I just can't imagine not being able to read. I just love to read.
Wow. Well, you know, I do want to tell listeners that these readings become podcasts. So if you do want your children to hear them and listen to them, you can. You can stream the podcast after it airs. I usually get it up within a week. Sarah, I'll have you back again, because Sound Space is a childhood at heart type space, as well as anything else. And it'd be great to have you.
Be great to come back. One thing I wanted to mention, because I got involved with Spark down in Kendall Yard.
Yes.
And it's a wonderful community place, and they do a lot of storytelling, and they encourage children and adults to come in and to read books and to share. And I think they do have some storytelling down there.
Yes.
So it's really lovely. If you have, if you don't know about it, Spark.
Yeah, great.
Well, thank you.
Thanks, Sarah, and happy Mother's Day.
Happy Mother's Day.
All right. And that was Sarah Edlin Marlowe, a friend and former producer here at the station, Spokane Public Radio, coming back. We always love our emeritus and our people who usually leave here from the station tend to come back and be guests and share their wonderful, vast knowledge, their voices, their insights. I always like the spot in Sound Space to be full of those inspirations. So thanks again, Sarah, for reading The Sleeping Giant by Oscar Wilde.